us. Amen. Luke chapter number 19 and verse 1, the Bible said, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." I ain't got to never worry about nobody saying that about me. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be the chief. And I sure ain't got to worry about that rich part. Amen. "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. And he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him." Now, Zacchaeus was very interested in seeing the Lord. And it seems like the Lord was more interested in seeing him. I believe we can safely say, before we got real interested about seeing him, he done seen us. Wouldn't you agree with that? He said, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Everybody, I'm sure, at one time or another has read this text or heard somebody preach from this text about Zacchaeus. And I pray this morning that maybe today we can just see something from Zacchaeus that on a different twist, maybe a little bit. Amen. Father, I pray you'd touch my heart. Pray that you'd help me, Lord. Bless me. God, not with material things, but God, with your presence and power this morning. Help me, God, to be able to say things, God, that'll please you. Bless each one of these people that's here today, every man, woman, boy, and girl. God, give them that what's needed today, God, that could be life-changing, that could make them look at life different, could make them look at their Christian life in a way that they've never looked at it before. But help us, I pray, and use us for your glory. In Christ's name, I ask these things. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. And thank you so much for standing. I want to preach on this thought, if I can, for just a little while. On he sees me. He sees me. I don't know who all else he sees. And that's not of my interest this morning. But what I'm interested in is the fact that he sees me. I know what he sees when he sees me. I know where I've been and what I've done. I know the things I've said. I know places that I wished I wouldn't have went. I know that those things there was all open before him. And I wish this morning that there was some things in the past that I could erase. Some things in the past that he wouldn't have to look at. But they was there. And he's seen them. And he looks at me a little bit different than you look at me. If I told you about all those things that I just mentioned, you'd be saying, "Oh my, oh, I can't believe you've done all that." But he looks at me through eyes of mercy, through a heart filled with compassion. Amen. And that's not like a human being. Amen. That's like a holy, a merciful God's what that is. And I want to preach on this thought. He sees me. He sees me. Could you imagine this morning, this thought? Listen to me. Here's a man that had heard about the Lord. Here's a man that had heard testimony after testimony after testimony about how the Lord had been healing sick folk and touching blind folk and helping dead folk and giving people that's hungry something to eat. And I mean just one testimony after another, Zacchaeus is hearing about him. And then one day his curiosity, the Bible says, of the chief priest and a rich man, his curiosity got so big. He says, "I'm really interested in seeing him. I don't know what'll happen when I see him. I'm not sure about what he looks like when I see him. I'm not sure about what I'd say when I see him. I'm not sure about what he'd say when I see him. I'm not sure about what the other priests would think when I go forth to see him. But I've just got to the place in my life where now I want to see him. And that'll help me and you both. That'll help us this morning. If we'll get a place in our life, in our heart, down in the depths of our soul, where we want to get a good glimpse of Him. I was talking in Sunday school about children and raising children and health and times. We have these babies and we have these little children. But yet, when we have these children, we forget a couple of things, Brother Roy. We forget, number one, those children didn't ask to be born. They didn't ask to come here. But one thing that they do require is a lot of attention. They are going to eat. And if you don't feed them, they're going to make a racket. I mean, they'll cry until you give them something that'll satisfy them. And if it don't sit well with them, you got to burp them and make them happy until they're comfortable so they can go to sleep. Amen. Listen, I'll soon be 59 years old, and I'm still kind of favoring. I'm still kind of favoring eating a good meal and taking a nap. I like it. Amen. I still like it. But those children, they don't ask to be born. But one thing that they do require in the life of a child, if when you get older, you expect to spend time with your children, if when you get older, you expect to have a relationship with your son and your daughters, if when you get older, you want them to come by once in a while and say, Daddy, I love you. Mama, I love you. I just want to spend some time with you. You better make sure that when they're little, you spend time with them. Daddies are having children, and the daddies have still got their hobbies, Brother Gary, I said in Sunday school. They've still got that life from when they're hanging around with their buddies, and ain't nothing wrong with having friends. I'm just saying, you don't have that kind of a life no more. Now your life consists of those children. Mama's has now got a life we're so demanding of those children that they don't have time. But we've gone into a society and a lot of it has demanded, a lot of lives have demanded that a woman must have a career, she must have a good job, because somebody just stopped along the way and said, bye. Yeah, and it didn't work out. But can I say this? Can I say this morning? We need that hope for our children, because one day those children are going to look at you and they're going to be concerned and they're going to ask themselves this question. Do you see me? David Gibbs said one time, David Gibbs is a preacher, probably one of the greatest preachers in America, I'd say. I mean a true man of God. He said one time his little boy was talking to him. And he said he was listening to what he had to say. He says, and he is listening to him, but he said he wasn't looking at him. He says, and that little boy reached up and caught him by the chin and turned his face toward him. He said, Dad, he said, look at me. That's important. That's important. You know what I want the Lord to do when I'm talking to Him? I want Him to look at me. Amen. I'm wondering about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus has heard all kinds of stuff about the Lord. Zacchaeus has got to the place, Brother Gary, where he don't care what religion thinks no more. Zacchaeus has got to the place where even though he's just a little fellow, even though the Bible said he's small of stature, even though he's just a little feller, he was able to climb a tree if that's what was necessary to get to the place where he could see Jesus. He'd heard so much stuff. He'd heard so many things. He wanted to see Him. I'll say this morning. There's probably celebrities in here that some of you would like to meet. There's probably some kind of political figure. We went yesterday to Jennifer's graduation. At the college, they had all these people graduating college. The main speaker was the senator, Republican senator for the state of South Carolina. And I just don't know a whole lot about politics. I know that this town has a mayor, I guess, and they got some city councilmen and people like that. But I've never been around nobody that was, maybe we'll say a senator or whatever else and all they got, the governors and everything. I told Jerry and I told my wife, I said, you know, for just a little bit, I'd have him come preach. Amen. I mean, he had some good stuff to say. And he said it without any kind of an apologies. And he talked about things that his mama used to help him with to iron out troubles. Anybody know where I'm at this morning? He wasn't afraid to stand before a graduating class of young adults that was very, no doubt, very intelligent. Probably over half the graduating class or better had at least a 3.50 average grade. And he wasn't afraid to say, hey, the way that I got my life straightened out was because my mama carried a big switch. Yeah, man. Now, you can't say stuff like that no more, and that's why I try not to say it very often. Because you can't say stuff like that because it offends people. But it didn't offend him. He was the first black man that's been elected to the Senate from the state of South Carolina in over 100 years. And I'd say this, I said, they got a good man for the job. According to his testimony, they got a good man. Tim Scott. I want to read up on him. I'm telling you, it was a blessing to me. I wanted to meet him, but you know how stuff like that is. There's too many cameras involved. Everybody won't get pictures. But I want to say this about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had forsaken everything that he knew of about what everybody else. I wonder if somebody knew you was in church this morning, what would they think? If you knew somebody knew that you was in church this morning, would you care? If you thought, my friends knows I'm down there at the church house, and I don't care. Can I say, hey, they've already rode past and seen your car. That somebody's already told them that you come to church here. I forget who it was. My wife was telling me about somebody. Some of you in the church might know who this was. Some little girl went to school one day or something, and I forget who it was. You just tell me about done that now. And a little boy asked them, did they know the Lord, and was they saved? And ended up that little boy goes to church across town over there. And who was that? Kristen, okay. Taylor, it was Taylor that said something about it. And listen, we tell people we go to church, we tell people that we're this, and we tell people that. Can I say this? They're looking on. They're wanting to know if it's real. I appreciate that testimony you gave me this morning about not wanting to sit in certain sections because we just don't want to have to listen to things that the old man used to listen to. That was a blessing to me. When I walked off, I thought, what blessing that was this morning. And I had no idea you'd be here today. I'm so glad that you are. You don't know how much I appreciate that. But I want to say this morning. There's some things that Zacchaeus had on his mind. There's some things that was going through the mind of Zacchaeus while he's up the tree. He's just not up the tree resting. He's just not up the tree watching his watch to see if it's time for the Lord to come by. But he's up the tree and he's thinking some things that's fixing to happen in the life of his relationship between him and the Lord. You've got to think this morning. You've got to think this morning, what is your walk with Christ like? What is God thinking when He sees you? So while Zacchaeus is up the tree, he said in verse 4, he ran before and climbed up to a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. I want you to notice number one, he probably thought like this here. He sees me. Somebody ever looked at you and you know they saw you? Absolutely. It's like when they look at you, you know they're looking at you. You wouldn't believe how many times people come up to me and say, preacher, was you preaching to me this morning? I said, well, I don't know. I was preaching. Did it help you? They said, well, you was looking at me. You know what they knew? They knew I saw them. But I didn't just see them. I saw him and I saw her. Saw her and him and them and It's just that the Holy Ghost had a little something on that.
That's right.
And so they was looking into it a little deeper. And Zacchaeus said, he sees me. Well, it ain't hard for the Lord to see us. Job chapter 34, verse 21 said, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. All his goings. You know what? To a sinner, that can be disturbing. Hey, to a sinner, to a lost person, to think about the Lord, the King of glory, the Creator of the universe, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, sees me. To a sinner, that can be disturbing. To a sinner that don't have the peace of God, to somebody that's never been saved, to somebody that's never been regenerated, I'm saying, Brother Danny, that could be disturbing, knowing that the King of all glory is looking at me. He sees me. Psalmist said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I'll say this here to a sinner, that can be disturbing. But to the wayward Christian, that might be a blessing. Now I realize if when we get caught in our sin, we don't like it. It's kind of embarrassing. I mean, it's head dropping. Don't want to be there. Don't want to get caught there. Don't want to be exposed by the King there. But what we find out there is this. When he sees us there, he still welcomes us back. He can still, in the middle of all that, Brother Ron, he can still say, I love you. You know, I believe this. I believe it's been preached on so lightly. Any kind of rebuttal, any kind of chastisement, any kind of correction from God. Brother Gary, it's been preached on so lightly that folks of the hour, they say, well, so what? You say, you can't prove that. Sure I can. You let the kids of America, the day and hour I live in, a police officer walk up to them and start asking them questions about some kind of crime that went on, and they'll be disrespectful to them. I'm talking about 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 16-year-old. I'm afraid they're headed in the wrong direction of life. They're going to get in trouble, and they can't erase it. They can't turn their hands of time back. They can't go back. But when Zacchaeus was up the tree, he said, he sees me. Hey, this morning, friend, I'm telling you that where you are in your life, if you're not saved, he sees you. If you are saved but drifted on God, he sees you. He sees you. Might be a good time to get something like that straightened out, wouldn't it? Might be a good time to say, Lord, why you see me? Why you see me, would you help me? And I say that he also sees us in our trials. He sees us in our temptations. He sees us in our hard times. He sees us in the storms of life. He sees us whenever that cloud turns to dark overhead and the thunder starts just echoing through the universe and the lightning's a popping. I'm telling you, he sees you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're interested in. You know why he stopped by that sycamore tree? He didn't just stop by there because a man had climbed a tree. I'm sure that Zacchaeus was not the first man to ever climb a tree. But on that journey, on that day, that was the man that climbed a tree with a heart that says, I want to see him. I want to see him. And the Lord knew that. And the Lord, no doubt, he's anticipating getting there, Brother Dan. He's looking forward to woke up that sycamore tree. Gets up that sycamore tree. No doubt he might have paused just a minute and thought, you know what? Before I ever look up there, I sure am glad to know that there's a man up there who wants to see me. Amen. I wonder how many times you've walked into the house of God on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, on a Wednesday night, and says, you know what? I don't know if the Lord's going to come by this way today, but I sure do want to see him. Hey, man. And it seemed like, boy, the more you want to see him, the greater the excitement in your soul is about wanting to see him. I mean, the more you are stirred about wanting to see him, the greater chances are he's going to see you. And the desire of your heart. He says, he sees me. He sees me. Not only did he think he wanted to see me, but he probably thought this here too. He probably thought this. He probably thought, He knows me. He knows me. Psalms 103 verse 14 said, "For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're but dust." Can I say this? If He's looking on, if He sees you, and you know He knows you, don't you think we ought to be real serious about our prayer life? I don't think it's real serious when we say, "Lord, sure wish You'd use me when I get finished out there." I don't think He feels like that'd be real serious, Brother Gary. He knows me. I think we're to be honest about a prayer life. I think we're to be honest about our living. I mean, we could just preach for 100 years right here just on our living. But I think we just be honest about our living. I mean, I think husbands in the home ought to live a Christian life. I think wives in the home, are you listening to me? Ought to live a Christian life. I think young people that says they're saved by the good grace of God ought to live a Christian life. Be honest about it. Amen. Amen. That's to say that you're not to say I'm one thing and then be something else. I've often wondered, I see so many kids that I don't know why I'm on this thing this morning, but it's been here, so I'm going to deal with it. I've seen so many kids that don't want to be around their parents. And I figured out a long time ago, Brother Gary, if our kids need one thing, it's encouragement. You know what makes me do better on the job? Encouragement. Hey, man, you know what kind of helps me along the way? Somebody encouraged me. Maybe you husbands might do you good if that wife come along and encourage you once in a while. I mean, you already know. I mean, you've been married for 110 years to her. And you already know. She's already pointed out everything that you've done wrong. Wouldn't it be good to hear her say something once in a while? Like, you sure are blessed. Larry Seals is one of the craziest guys I've ever met. You know Larry. And his wife, Sister Vicky, she's a blessing. And it used to be whenever we'd get around them at youth meetings and stuff like that, Larry just be cutting up and be crazy in all of his just be crazy ways. And she'd just stop and look at him, and she'd say, "Larry, they're from Tennessee. They're from East Tennessee. They got a little bit of an accent." She'd say, Larry, you sure are a blessing sometimes. I mean, she's just serious. She's serious with your faith. She'd say, "You sure are a blessing sometimes." And he'd look at her and he'd say, "Thank you, honey. I've been praying about that, Brother Charles. That the Lord would move on my wife like that." Make her say, you know what I'm talking about? She might, who knows? Most of the time, Brother Sean, when she tells me that I'm a blessing, it's when I'm going to get up and go to bed and leave her alone so she can watch whatever she wants to on TV. Just, I ain't complaining about HGTV no more. I'm going to bed. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'd like to say this. He knows me. He knows me. Not only does He see me, not only does He know me, but thank God He loves me. Hey, I said He loves me. Would you not agree with me? I mean, since Zacchaeus was the tax man, do you not think maybe, just maybe, since we're in this season of the year, tax time, don't you think it might be possible that nobody liked Zacchaeus? I wouldn't have. Every time I get something from tax place, they usually say, "We need more. We want more. I got taxes on my income. I got taxes from the state. I got taxes on my car. I got taxes on my groceries. I got taxes at the restaurant. I've got taxes on my clothes. I got taxes on everything. I don't need another Zacchaeus." I wouldn't like him. But the Lord loved him. He loved him. You know what that just proves to us? The people that, that, beyond a shadow of a doubt that we'd say, there ain't no way God could love someone like that. He loves them. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible said, but God commended His love toward us in that while we, that's all of us, that's every one of us, nobody's exempt from the richest to the poorest, from the tallest to the shortest, hey, to the heaviest to the lightest, from whatever life's way you come from. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I'm glad of that. I'm glad He loves me. Well, thank God for the day that He's seen me. Thank God for the day that I realize He knows me. Thank God for the day that He revealed to me that He loves me. After I found out that He loves me, you know what I found out, Brother John? He wants me. He's up the tree! He's up the tree! He's up the tree! He obviously thinks if I get up the tree, He won't see me. But He's already seen Him. And He found out that He knows Him. Now He finds out that He loves Him. And now He finds out that He wants Him. He said, Zacchaeus, come down! Come off that high horse! Come out of that prideful life. Come out of that place of society where you never get to talk about me. Why don't you come to the place where I can use you? Those friends will forsake you. Those friends will leave you alone. They're just wanting to watch you crash and burn and just destroy your life and end up scarred and have nothing and nobody. But I want you this morning. He wants you. What does He want to do for me? Some big stuff. He wants to do some big stuff for you. He wants to show you how easy it is for you to live for Him. He wants to show you how much pleasure there is in you praising Him. He wants to show you how satisfying it is for you to glorify Him. Over 40 years has passed since that day I knelt down and said, God, I'm a sinner headed to hell. Can I tell you, I still get excited about lifting up Him. I still get stirred about lifting up Him. People talk about getting chill bumps and all that kind of stuff. I don't know about no chill bumps. They just something goes on the inside of me. It might be happening on the outside of you, but it's going on the inside of me. I like people get to bragging on Him. People get to shouting on Amen. Amen. Listen. Yesterday we was watching that thing at Brother Gary, and they called out everybody's name. And if they had really excelled and done well, they would name what they had done in their degree to excel like they did. And people, the families of each person, I've got to notice, and I don't know if you noticed this or not, but was in a basketball in a gymnasium, and it was full on that side and full on this side over here, and whenever this young man walked across the platform, they called his name out. There might not have been but about four or five from his family there. But when he walked across that platform, you could hear, "Woo!" Boy, that's proud they done it. They's proud they completed it. Amen. They proud they went all the way for after what they had pursued. And then a young girl walked across there, and somebody, that young girl's walking across that platform, and she got her degree, and they handed it to her, and she give her name, and as soon as they called out her name, somebody hollered out, Yeah, go girl, I know you could. Be about four or five in that crowd. And that went on for 300 and something people. 360 something people, I think she said, graduated that class. But it come down to this one girl. They never was more than six or seven. Jennifer walked across there and Jared jumped up and he hollered and I know what he's hollering about, Andrew. She couldn't get her a job. I know Jared, though. You know him, don't you? He was excited. She's going to work. There'll be more money coming in the house. So like he said, I know that boy. But they was, sister, they was a young girl that had finished 4 years of school. And she's in a wheelchair. And they pushed her up that side. They come up that side. Hang on here now. I'm going to try. They brought her up that side. And if David Nix would have been there, he could have took this. And they brought her up there, and she's in that wheelchair. And she handed the man her piece of paper, and he called her name out. And somebody else is pushing her because she can't push herself. I see y'all didn't get that. You ain't in this ride all by yourself. You ain't doing what you're doing all by yourself. And she's in that wheelchair. Somebody's pushing her, and they called her name out. And when they called her name out, there was a couple of them down in the front row. The family hollered out. The family shouted for her. But then all them people that she was in there with it. All them people that had done the same thing she'd done. Real slowly. And it got bigger. And bigger. And I'm telling you, just a few minutes, Brother Gary, all 365 or whatever it was, that graduating class, all them people in the stands on that side, and all them people on the stands this side, and a little old girl in a wheelchair just sitting there waving back at everybody. Hey, I'm saying this morning, the world might not think much of us, but if we'll just go ahead and finish the race, if we'll do what we started out to do, it might take climbing a tree, it might take getting up there where nobody knows where we're at, but He'll come along where you are, and He'll see you, cause He knows you, and He loves you, and He wants you. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad He wanted me. The world only wanted me to ruin me. The world only wants you to scar you. I'm trying to hurry. So now that He wants me, what can I do? I don't know if one thing left to do, just one thing. What I know to do. Verse number 5, the Bible said, when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Verse number 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. There ain't but one thing left to do, and that's for let him know that he can have me. You say, what makes you think he would want you? Well, he wanted Zacchaeus. I ain't read about nothing good out of the Bible about Zacchaeus for this. Nothing good. And he wanted Zacchaeus. I'd never want to do this, but if I was to go back over my life and tell you everything that's happened from the time that I can remember as a little boy up to today, or whenever I got saved, or however you want to say it, there'd be things in there, no doubt, Brother Ron, you'd say, I don't know. I don't know if I want my wife and my son sitting up under somebody like that. It might be, Brother Darnell, you might say, you know, preacher, you, after saying all this, explaining all this, I think you are a little bit worse sinner than what I was. I don't know how I could sit up under you. I was talking to a man the other day at an establishment, and he brought up a preacher friend's name, and he said, I'm just going to be honest with you. He told me this. Brother Gary, he said this. He said, I just don't like him. He said, I remember when he was a drunk. He said, and I remember whenever he just run around town and lived a wicked, vile life. And he just explained to me all the stuff he remembered. But did you know all the stuff he remembered was about somebody else, wasn't none about him? I figured I might just both slip in there and help him. Just help him. Because he forgot about him. Somebody need to help him remember him. I'm glad this thing ain't about what I was. It ain't even about what I am. It's about what he wants me to do for him. If I give myself to him, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to enjoy living for him and praising him. And I'm going to learn how to forgive others because of him. I'm going to learn how to overlook other people's faults because of him. I'm not going to team up with somebody and talk about how good me and you are and think the Lord never would help him. I'm going to have him now. And you know where all that started from? From one day when he seen me. Come to the piano. Come to the piano. Let me ask you this morning. You ever seen you? Has he ever seen you in that same light? Has there ever been a day that you was willing to climb a tree if you needed to get up there? Now here's what the devil's going to do. If you listen real close to what I'm going to say. Here's what the devil will do. And this, for this reason, it makes us have to work a little bit harder. Jared used to go up there to the, anytime fitness thing. Because he said, you can go up there anytime. I said, what about those of us that don't want to go up there none of the time? He finally talked me into going one time. And when I got there, he wanted me to leave. And I don't know why. I said, he said, you can come as a guest, Dad. I said, well, I might just go then. I went up there, Brother Jane. I figured I'm going to get on the treadmill and just walk a little bit. So I put my dungarees on and my boots. I felt like everything was all right. I can see it on your face. It wasn't. And when I walked in, he looked at me like, I didn't know that you got to have special clothes just to go to the Anytime Fitness. But you do. He said, Dad, you ain't got no shorts. I said, son, the world can't take it. I mean, you might can wear them. You ready to go play ball right now. But we ain't going. I've got another 2 hours worth of preaching to do right now. That's all right, ain't it? All right, buddy. I appreciate you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being here, son. I'm just kidding. You're visiting. What he thought I ought to look like for the circumstances wasn't what I thought I need to be like. I wasn't serious about it. If I'd have been serious about it, I might have had on some different type of clothes. But we just went up there just to see what was going on mostly. And after about 10, 15 minutes on that treadmill, I was finished. I was through. But he's worked. And he's worked hard. I'm telling you. He's worked hard. And he's gotten bigger. And he's gotten stronger. I never thought I'd see the day. I mean, he's 18 years old. I think he was bench pressing about 265 pounds. Didn't weigh about 150 or 60. I said, they ain't nothing in his head. And he got barbells to go at the house. He got so serious about it, Brandon, that's what I'm talking about. You know what? He didn't care what nobody thought. He didn't care how skinny he was. But I was noticing yesterday when he walks off now, the sleeves on his jacket are kind of tight. When he walks off now, Andrew, kind of broader across the back now. some things has developed on him that he used to not have. You know what would happen if you'll climb a tree today? And the Lord sees you up there and tells you to come on down and spend some time with him. There'll be some things develop in your Christian life. And he'll use things with you for himself that you'll turn right around and give him the glory for. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. And give you whatever it is that you need to serve him with. And while you're praying and thanking him and saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you've done. You get the glory. He's going to turn around and give you the crown for it. He's going to give you the reward for it. And it was him that done it all. Let's stand together, if you would, this morning.